Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the My Lowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Football, fighting, and full of nonsense. The Stephen Housen Podcast. Made in Manchester.
Hello and welcome to the Stephen Housen Podcast. Delighted to be joined today by my mate and your mate. It's Cheeky Sport Dave. What's happening, my mate?
Man, listen, I'm so glad to be back, to be live here with Stephen Housen. I mean, listen, honestly, it's been a crazy week. But yeah, I'm ready to get cracking into what we're going to discuss today.
What you been up to anyway? You only landed yesterday, didn't you? You've been in Barbados?
Yeah, no, I got back from Orlando, actually. It was Orlando. I got back yesterday and then shot straight off to Wembley to shoot the preview for that Champions League game. But yeah, literally just got back it was a little 4-day trip. States was crazy though, because it was Halloween. You know, Halloween over there is like a different game. It's over here, it's just like a day, but over there it's like a holiday. Them guys take it like way seriously. Like, people spend hundreds on their outfits and that stuff. So it was pretty hectic. Good times.
Do you know what? Let's stay on Halloween then. Fuck it, right? So you see 40, 50 year olds and everything like proper getting in the mix, and like, I didn't do fuck all for Halloween. Last time I did something for Halloween was a few years ago. I went as a zombie and it was sick. And I've wanted, me and all the lads have been talking about going as like 80s WWF wrestlers, but we've just never got around to doing it. We talk a good game and then never fucking pull it out.
That would actually be sick. Oh my days. And then get like the belts, the titles and that, throw them over the eye. Listen, that would actually
Well, that was it. Every new bar you go into, there's got to be a new champion. So I think every new bar you go into, you just start off a fucking Royal Rumble in there, don't you? Until you have a winner, and then that guy's the champion into the next bar.
That is hilarious. Now, that would actually be hilarious. It's funny because, like I said, it's like we don't take it that seriously over here, but in the States, you'd see people doing that legit. Yeah. Like, if a group of people are going out, the whole team will like soup up to whatever's going on. So if them lot are doing like, they'll all do something like, if they do like Mario, yeah, everyone would be dressed up. You'd have like Luigi, you'd have Super Mario, you'd have Wario, you'd have Waluigi. You might get a couple Donkey Kongs here and there. Like, it's insane over there. But we've got to get it going. Next year, we've got to shut it down. Like,
do you know what? That'd be a perfect thing for us to do. I mean, like, I guarantee you could do that in England. 90% of the people that are going to see you are going to go, what a lot of fucking dicks they are. But are you arsed? Are you having a good night? Exactly. We went as the Jackson 5 a couple of years ago, and it was fucking amazing. We won so many fancy dress competitions that we didn't even enter. We're just walking in somewhere, and they're like, and the winner of the fancy dress competition is Jackson 5. And we're like, oh shit, we won. Yeah.
Oh my days, Rob, I'm telling you, man. Next year, in fact, might not even need to wait till next year. Might just have to do it. Might just have to do it on a random...
New Year's Eve, you can get away with it sometimes.
I'm telling you, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, they go another level in America. You get away with it in America. It'd be a funny vlog episode if we did it over here. I think, might have to just say it next year. And I think that's the one, you know, WWF wrestlers. I think you should go as Jake the Snake. I think that'll look good. Get you a big-ass snake.
Jake the Snake, yes. Hey, listen, I'm telling you. Nah, for sure, I think next year we all have to soup up and do it, like, for sure. Get out of there. I think people love it. Let us know, innit? Let us know what you want to see us do next year, and we'll get it done, innit?
Yeah, do you want to see Cheeky Dave dressed up as Ultimate Warrior, going sick, going, ah, everywhere he goes? Of course you do. Of course you fucking do.
Oh, my days. Old school WWE.
Yeah, old school. No one passed. No 1991 or something. So you got Macho Man Randy Savage. You got Bret the Hitman Hart. You got Hulk Hogan. When wrestling was actually real, do you know what I mean? Before it got fake.
Viscera. They're like Viscera in that.
Typhoon and all them crackheads and Undertaker and Sergeant Slaughter and old school only and get in the mix. Kebab shop, Royal Rumbles at the end of the night and everything. Even if you get arrested, it's hilarious.
It would, listen, it would make a sick vlog, man. I'll tell you, it would make a sick vlog. I'm sure they'd love it. Like, it would be epic. I'm saying. Shadow of a doubt.
Fucking chaos. Absolute, utter fucking chaos. I don't know why. It is an American thing. It is a proper American thing that really wasn't a massive deal over here. I think Bonfire Night used to be the one over here, but the merging of the two cultures has sort of brought a lot of American things over, and I think Halloween's a fun one. If you get fucking all pent up about it, then you're just a miserable bastard, aren't you? I mean,
not for real.
I didn't open the door on Halloween to no kids, but I've got a crazy dog, and that's my excuse. I can't fucking be opening the door every 5 seconds. I have to go lock him in the back and then bring him back out after the kids have gone. It's not worth the hassle.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth the hassle. But I do like it. I don't mind going out for it and getting utterly twisted.
Honestly, it was an epic. I'm telling you, it was an epic. Look, my phone got smashed. It was an epic night. Like my iPhone 6.
Oh, did you dress up? Did you dress up when you was there?
Yeah, I dressed up, man. Listen,
what'd you go as?
Everyone went. What did I go? I went as a Greek god. I went as a Greek god. You see what I'm saying? Adam Gold pedals popping off. Like it was freaking hilarious. Like the whole crew went out. All the flight crew went out, and then all of the cabin crew went out as well. So all the girls dressed up as well. Girls were dolled up. You know what I mean? It was quite a lot of cats. You know what I mean? Not a lot of originality going on. Quite a lot of cats.
Oh, you're gonna have a sexy cat?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Literally. But like I said, the Americans just outshined them all from because they went all the way in, all the way.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. So get us in the comments. What do you reckon? Do you want to see Statman Dave dressed as Hulk Hogan?
Yes. Hey, Statman Dave dressed as Hulk Hogan.
Do you want to see
the Hulkamaniacs?
Do you want to see Adam McCola dressed like Rikishi?
Rikishi. Oh my days. Hey, Howson, who are you going as? You need to go as Mick Foley. You go as Mick Foley.
I go Bret the Hitman Hart, mate. I can pull off them pink leggings. I can definitely, if anyone can pull off pink leggings, this is your guy.
You got it down. Oh man.
Anyway, let's get to some serious business. What's going on with United? Because I'm seeing Tottenham going on a skid. I'm seeing Man City going on a skid. The only team I'm not seeing going on a skid at the moment really is Arsenal. And you know that shit's coming. That train's never late. That train is never late. That Arsenal skid is fucking coming round the corner just like Christmas is.
Listen. If there's one thing that you can guarantee in life, yeah, that is that Arsenal are going to have that slide. 100%. Without a shadow of a doubt. The slide is coming, like especially in March. March is like their optimum time. I call it March Madness. Do you know what I mean? Where
it's now, isn't it? Isn't it like now when they go, oh shit, we can win the league?
Yeah, exactly. It's mad. The Arsenal skid is coming, but United with Arsenal, I think, you know what it is, yeah? I think everyone expected, especially with the way we started here in terms of winning, everyone expected us to continue to like blast the whole thing. But the reality of the fact is, yeah, it's been 3 years of mess. And that's not going to happen immediately. We didn't have a good preseason. We played 2-3 preseason games?
Yeah, one of the ones that we had got rescheduled or cancelled.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I mean? That whole China trip was an absolute mess. So it weren't ever going to change immediately. And yeah, we were getting the results at the start, but the footballing play wasn't as fantastic because the players still weren't mentally into what Mourinho wanted them to get into.
So I think football's better now than that opening day. Definitely.
Exactly, without a shadow of a doubt, and that's why I'm not worried. Like, there's a lot of people like throwing the toys out of the pram and saying this and that. But reality, the fact is, I don't think there's anything to worry about right now because you can see the players are adapting to what it is that he wants them to do, and they're playing a lot more fluid play. And like I said, for me, I'd much rather the result end in the way it did than us to have a 0-0 draw like we had last year. 0-0 draws, even 1-0 wins that we had last year. Unconvincing with like what, 2 shots on goal. So I think it's promising. It shows that maybe not this season, but you know what I mean? It's showing that there are signs there of greatness. And I think we'll be back. I think we'll, without a shadow of a doubt, once it clicks, once the boys gel together, Because at the end of the day, the reality of the fact is the whole spine of Man United has changed. If you look at this, the spine of the club, like, of course, we only brought in four players, but those four players are in crucial areas of which of our play. So it's going to take time for the boys to know what each other continues to happen. Honestly, I think we'll be flying.
Yeah, I said at the end of the transfer window, I think we had a better transfer window than City. I think we addressed more of our obvious issues than City, and I think we addressed them better than City did. And City fans took the piss and thought, oh, because they beat us, that means that we didn't have a better transfer window. Mm. We still had the better transfer window. Just because of the results that transpired since it doesn't mean that we didn't have that better transfer window. We did. And these players are going to come together. We've not seen anything of Mkhitaryan that's worth talking about just yet, apart from the fact that we haven't seen him. Paul Pogba is coming under so much criticism because he's the most expensive player in the world, and that is the only reason. Because if he was a free transfer, if he was an academy player, if he was just if he was playing for Southampton, people would be pulling the dicks out for him.
Yeah.
But because he plays for Manchester United, because he costs 90 million, and because he's got bare haircuts, people think that they can have a go at a guy. But if you look at what he's actually doing in games, what is he doing? He's winning tackles. He's passing the ball. He's passing the ball more than most other players in England. Yeah. And he's creating chances. You tell me what else you want a midfielder to do.
I was having a discussion yesterday with Joey. Last night I was like, look, I'm going to have an early night. Get it done early night. I'm going to hit the gym in the morning. And then I ended up on the phone to Joe. And next thing you know, we was in like 3 hours deep. And during that phone conversation, we were talking, the situation of Pogba came up. And I was like, look, people are getting way too carried away with their criticism of Paul Pogba. I don't know what they thought he was when he came in. Now, the majority of people that are getting carried away with that don't know what Paul Pogba's about. They don't know his game. Because how many goals did he score last season? Eight or something. Eight goals last season.
He's got plenty of times to match that.
He's not here to smack up goals. Do you know what I mean? And he's already scored, three goals this season? He's almost on half the goals he scored last season anyway. So he's not here. We didn't buy him for 89 million because of his goal-scoring prowess. If you look at the figures in terms of what he's doing, he's created the most chances in the final third. He's put in the most for Manchester United. He's had the most fouls. I mean, Statman Dave put up the stats on Paul Pogba. And I was like, look, really, if you look at the statistics of Paul Pogba, he's like the best creative player within our team at this moment in time. And it's just because we haven't converted those chances yet. And once those chances begin to get converted, people are going to start jumping back on him again. And people are, like you said, people are getting all livid. Oh, man, look, he's got new haircuts, little emoji flames in the hair, put up the 100. Look, and the reality of the fact is, what are you going to say? What? Because Man United ain't winning, don't get your haircut. Listen, let the guy do what he's got to do in it. Like, that's the reality of the fact. Me, if I want to get a trim, Some people, and I said to Joel, like, people have different things that give them confidence. Like, for some people, you need to get a fresh trim, feel good, look good, feel good, play good, innit? That's the reality of the fact. So you can't, what? Because, he shouldn't be getting haircuts, he should be out in there training. What? He should be training 24 hours a day. Listen, let the guy get his haircut, man.
That a lot of people are like, oh, because you pay him 200 grand a week, you should never get tired. Oh, shit. Why don't you just let him run on a treadmill and empower the country for all electricity? Like, no, athletes need rest as much as they need to train. It's been proven. You've got to rest. Why do you think we got them sleep pods installed at United? So they could sleep. What? We're paying them to sleep now. Yeah, we're paying them to sleep. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Yeah, we're paying them to sleep. He's not Roy Keane, right? Roy Keane is borderline psychopathic. And there was a time when Roy Keane used to not get his hair cut until United lost.
Yeah.
So he would end up with a really big shaggy hairdo, and then we would lose, and he would have a skinhead again. And that was Roy Keane's mentality of, like, we've got to go back to work. We've got to, we've got to rebuild. And you didn't often see him with a bald head, is what people would say. But that was Roy Keane. You can't judge everybody off Roy Keane, because Roy Keane might be mental.
I can't even lie. I wasn't even expecting that drop. But it's true. It's actually, like I said, everybody has their thing. Everybody has their thing that either spurs them on, that gives them confidence. And like I said, there are some, me and Joe were talking last night. It was like, well, at the end of the day, you've got Lingard on Instagram and so on and so forth. And I was like, look, you can't what? What's if the excuse of Lingard's performance is because of Instagram, then what's Rooney's excuse? Or what's Smalling's excuse? You can't just start blaming of course it looks bad and it's easy for people to jump on it, but there's other people that are playing bad and they're not on that either. So we can't look at that and use it as an excuse. And at the same time, you don't know how these players use these things as in a sense, as a release or as a, as a, you know, to unwind.
No, you've got Jesse Lingard posts a couple of shit on Snapchat and people lose their mind. Brian Robson, Norman Whiteside and Mark Hughes used to disappear for 2 days on the piss every week, right? And people was like, yeah, that was the culture then.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. It's the culture now to post shit on Snapchat.
That's the reality.
And
that's
far less harmful to an athlete than getting on the piss for 2 days.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like the culture is, and of course, like you said, there's still players now that aren't on that. That aren't like on it. So it's not like they're not going to really feel that much heat from the media and so on and so forth. But some of them are still playing crap. So they ain't got the excuse of, oh, end of the day, they're on Snapchat or they're on Instagram. Do you know what I mean? It's not solely to do with those things. And I think people need to like jump off these players' backs and, you know what I mean? Like, let them live. Some like for example, Ronaldinho used to go out like, I don't know, twice a week. Do you know what I mean?
Bendering.
Yeah. Straight up going out and fully.
And people will always excuse it, go, well, Jesse Lingard's not Ronaldinho. No, he's not. But I don't see him going out on the piss. I don't hear stories of him going out on the piss. Exactly. I hear stories that he's a grafter in training who does some silly shit on Snapchat. Give me that 100 times out of 100 over a guy that has got a load of natural talent and then just goes bendering.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm with you 100%. And for me, it's not even like, I'm not only going to say that, but I think like some people, we look at footballers, yeah, we look at these athletes and we think, and for some reason, when they ain't performing, we feel like all they've got to do is train 24 hours a day. Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, did you lose this weekend? Yeah. You need to move out of your house. You need to go and get a fucking bed sit. And you need to go and sit there miserable with damp curtains and mold on the walls because you don't deserve it because you lost.
Nothing. Oh, of course it's a different thing. Of course it's a different situation. You know, I remember because one of my boys were talking about you know, when Zlatan sent the training kit to Claudio Bravo. And he was like, oh, man, well, you better win that game then. And obviously, we ended up not winning that game. And then he said, you know, sometimes people look at him and think, oh, well, he looks stupid now for doing that. But in reality, that is part and parcel of who Zlatan is. That's who you bought. He's not the kind of guy who's going to just talk smack after he wins. He's going to have to talk smack before it because that's who he is. It's part of his nature. It's part of his character. It's part of what makes him who he is. Yeah. So the reality of the fact is, I warrant him to do, you know what I mean, what he's doing because at the end of the day, if you remove the element, then you're not getting who you wanted in the first place. Like he said, Pep bought a Ferrari and he's driving him like a Fiat. You know what I mean? Sometimes the Ferrari's going to crash. Do you know what I mean? But the reality of the fact is it's going to get you somewhere pretty quickly.
And it's like Conor McGregor. Everyone was waiting until Conor McGregor lost that fight against Nate Diaz. And it was like, how's he going to be able to talk smack? Now he's lost because his confidence and his whole bravado was built on the back of this massive win streak of just putting dudes away.
Yeah.
Conor turns up in his fucking suit and he's like, yeah, fuck you, I'm going to smash you. What are you going to do? Fuck all. And you're like, he just strangled the life out of your ass. That was last week. This is this week. And that's how a lot of them live their life. And that's how a lot of them are in their own head. Just like, yeah, this is what I'm fucking doing. And Zlatan's like that. I think Pogba's like that. I don't think Pogba's got a crisis of confidence. I think he's going out getting haircuts because he's chilling. Because he knows that he's playing good football. And yeah, the results aren't coming. But he's not going to be sitting at home like that thinking, oh, we fucking drew against Stoke. He's going to be like, nah, that's done. Fuck it. On to next week.
That's it. And that's what you need. You don't want players hanging their heads, dropping their heads like after they're losing. Of course, you know what I mean? Of course, a loss affects everyone, isn't it? But the reality is you don't want players dropping their heads for weeks on because that's not going to work. That's not going to help in the long run. You need strong enough characters to be able to like be like, you know what? We lost. We didn't do what we did. But the reality is I know I'm the man. And I know I'm going to get it done. You see what I'm saying? And that's the reality.
And at United, we're dealing with the 1% of the 1% of footballers, right? But even your average Premier League footballer, right? That guy that makes the bench for Bournemouth, you don't even know a guy who knows a guy that was as good as him growing up. That's how fucking good some of these guys are.
Honestly.
And to get to that level of Manchester United, you're looking at an even 1% version of that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy that was that good. Like, that's how good Paul Pogba is. Yeah. That's how good Zlatan is. That's how good even the likes of fucking Rojo are.
Yeah, even the likes of Phil Jones. I was saying to someone the other day, yeah, look, it's not until you go out there and you start kicking ball, yeah, that you realise some of these guys would absolutely wipe the... And although you see them playing football and they're not... You see them playing football and you think, oh, they ain't got that much techers. Maybe they're just
well,
like...
Well, they keep it simple because they've got shit to win.
Exactly. But if they were playing against you, if you wasn't playing a five-a-side with these, man... They would make you sit on your ass faster than you can even because it's And it's just the levels, the standard. It's the standard of the... And like I said, when you look at these people at the higher echelon, the upper echelons of the sport, like your Zlatans and like your Paul Pogba's, the standard up there is on a different, type of gravy. Different
even
level.
We was doing bush cam last night, and you're looking at some of the one touch that they're doing, and you're thinking, Fosu Mensah is a big guy, he's a bit of a destroyer. Not exactly a guy with like silky winger feet or anything like that. And he's fucking pulling out tricks left, right, and centre, and you're like, damn. Like,
damn.
Paul, this is fucking Fosu Mensah. This isn't no winger. This isn't Mata. This isn't someone like you expect, like a Rashford maybe, that's going to have just fucking mad, unbelievable skills. Rashford's not really shown any mad, unbelievable skills. But have you seen that trick that he did? That everyone was vining up when he was with England?
Yes.
It's an around the world with a fucking jump and a back heel underneath it.
Yes.
I had to watch it six times to even figure out what he did.
It was unreal. I think you guys even put up a video on Full Time Devils. I think when we had that Sean Garnier clip. I think
it's not been released yet.
Yeah. Oh, you got that? It's not out yet.
No, we haven't put it out yet.
Oh yeah. It's not out yet.
So watch out for that. That's why I didn't say.
It's coming.
It's coming, yeah. He explains how to do it, and then you go...
Yeah. It's unreal. It's insane. But it's just like you're saying, like, the players that you think that you don't see pulling out techers on a day-to-day basis, honestly, if you, like... And that's why I love Bushcamp, because it allows you to, like, see, like, certain snippets of what the average United player can do.
Well, Robin Van Persie, right? You wouldn't have said he was one with blessed with mental techers or anything like that, would you?
No.
There was a video that he put out. I can't remember the reason they put the video out, but he did a video with his son in a northern... It was in Castlefield, just around like some of the old warehouses and stuff in Castlefield. And he was just playing street football with him and his son against whoever it was. It might have been the F2. I don't know who it was. I can't remember. And Robin Van Persie's pulling out fucking unbelievable techers. And you just go in, like...
What?
You never see this from them, but these are guys that have played football for 30 years, a lot of them. 30 years. Like, they get up, they go to work, and they make themselves better at this thing. And just because you're not seeing it on a Saturday afternoon, because they've got to concentrate on, it's the finest of margins, as we've seen against Burnley, the finest of margins. You're like, yeah, United squad might have cost fucking more than the US national debt. And Burnley's might have cost like less than a packet of Space Raiders. But it doesn't matter. There's still a fucking parity between these two sides. And it's not one guy versus one guy. If it was one guy versus one guy, it'd be like heavyweight boxing, where you go, yeah, he's going to win every single fucking time.
Yeah.
But you're relying on 10 other people to all be at the peak of their play. And some are not going to be. Some are going to make mistakes. And someone's going to have a good game on this side. And that's what makes football so intriguing. That's what makes all team sports so intriguing, is that there's so many fucking moving parts that when one of them fucks up, the whole thing collapses. Well, and that is the finest of margins that we're dealing with.
Yeah. It's incredible. Like, one of my friends, today I was at the gym, one of my mates was like, oh man, how come Burnley would like hold off United here this weekend, and probably like might lose to Palace on this weekend? Yeah. And it was like,
Didn't they beat Liverpool 5-0 as well? Something mad like that.
Yeah, they beat Liverpool. Yeah, they beat Liverpool 2-0, and Liverpool had like 27 shots against.
Well, I don't know where I got 5-0 from. I might have made that up.
20 shots, and they beat them. But I think it's one of those ones where players, like when you play in a game, when you're playing at this level, people can just, especially when they're playing a team like Manchester United, they're playing more than 100%. They're playing out of their skin. That's incapable of being able to do that the season long. Like. And it's incredible.
That's why they'll come 16th or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And one of the things they'll hold on to is the fact that they held Manchester United. You know what I mean?
37 shots, though. 37 shots. I remember a Borussia Dortmund in 1997, with Champions League semi-final, when one of Cantona's last games at Old Trafford. And I'm sure we had 29 or 30 shots that night as well. Andy Cole missed everything. Cantona missed everything. I can't remember who else we'd even brought on, but every fucker was just missing everything. Nothing would go in. Keeper had a worldie, like Tom Eaton did. And you get those days. I've seen it happen with Dortmund. I've seen it happen with Sunderland at Old Trafford. I've seen it happen with countless teams.
Yeah, it happened.
Come and done that to us.
In FA Cup final 2005. We swiped the floor with Arsenal. And it got to the stage and I was like, we're going to lose this game. I just knew it, because it was like, it's impossible. Like, the way we have dominated this game, it's gonna end up being a loss, and we end up losing that penalties. But it happens. It happens in football.
That's why betting companies are so loaded, because you can't predict that shit. Everyone would have lumped on hard. United would have been in everyone's acca this weekend or last weekend. Burnley at home, fuck yeah, get on that. And then people will be watching it going, have they had 30 shots? Have they had 35 shots? Have they had 37 shots? 0-0, fuck off.
Insane. But like I said, what I'm glad about, the one thing I'm glad about is the fact that we have players that have the mental toughness to deal with that and to get back on tonight and put in the solid performance. And I think that's one of the most incredible things, because if you didn't, you know what I mean, we could become unstuck. We're having 35-37 shots, Zlatan missing a few shots here and there, and everyone was getting on his back. But like I said, he's a player that is able to rise to that, and I mean I'm not worried in the slightest.
What does worry me is the rotation policy of Mourinho, because he's played strong squads for this last 5 or 6 weeks. We've had a real tough time of it, and I think he is feeling the pressure a little bit on that count, because he's playing a strong team in the lesser competitions.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to lead us to coming unstuck at some stage.
You know what it is? It's a trade-off, because it's one of the things where you have to look at it from a perspective of, one thing you can do is, one, you can either play the youth and hope for the best. And if they win, it's great. If they lose, then it hasn't affected anybody's confidence, so to speak. Do you know what I mean? You can just use the excuse of end of the day, we was playing the youth and so on and so forth. But then at the same time, when you haven't had a preseason and you haven't been able to work your team that you want, he's also in a position where he has to try and figure out who he wants to really use going forward. And at the same time, he needs them to not lose, because if they lose, then that has a running effect on confidence going into the games after that. So
and the press are fucking standing there like that, ready to fucking
ready,
go.
Ready. And it's because it's us. Obviously, it's because, and it comes with the territory. Like I was like I said, I always talk about when I'm at the gym, because that's where I receive the most banter. But I was at the gym the other day, and everyone was like, "You must get it, David," from everyone. There's like from everyone, because as a Man United fan, you're not only getting it from people that are Liverpool fans. You're getting it from everyone. You're getting it from Paddy. You're getting it from everyone. Everyone loves.
Oh, everyone thinks we're rivals. You're like, yeah. Who are you again? Yeah. Fuck off.
Exactly. You know, and so it's like when Man United lose, it's like the world comes to roost. Everyone's like, cash in.
What's the predominant team around your end?
The predominant team around my end is probably Palace. But then, In London, you know, a lot of people down here are a lot of Arsenal fans, and Arsenal love to talk in it. They're like the most. They talk the most. And it's not until you sit for a minute and you realise, hold on, you know, I haven't won the league in like 14 years. You can't come around here. We can't have a conversation. You can't sit at our table because you haven't won the league.
Yeah, Leicester can. They got a chair.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the reality of the fact. But they're still the most vocal fans there is. You know what I mean?
United draw to Burnley. I'm trying to think of our recent fixtures. United draw to Burnley. My Twitter feed's full of Arsenal fans, right? Didn't they draw the day before? Or some shit like that. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
The week before, it's just Arsenal fans. Why are you always trying to interject yourselves in conversations that don't fucking concern you? I don't care about Arsenal. You make me laugh. And everyone goes, you're obsessed with Arsenal. No, I'm replying to the fucking Muppets that are in my timeline constantly. Otherwise, I won't even talk about them. The only ones I ever go on about is Liverpool and City. And that's my rivals. I rarely ever go at Arsenal until someone fucking dives in. But then they get it.
But they do. They love it. They love it. And sometimes, because sometimes I was like, are you guys actually serious? Are you actually seriously having this conversation with me right now, when the most popular phone that was out when you won the league was 3310? It was not a smartphone. It didn't exist. Like, you know what I mean? So sometimes it's just like...
Was it?
The audacity of them trying to have this debate, I find it hilarious. But then it's you know, I got to credit their spirit to still be about there like
it's
that.
It's delusion. Wenger sent them fucking crazy, right? Think about it, right? They are the best team in the world, right? From April till November, right? For fucking 7 months of the year. Maybe 8 months, maybe stretch it to 9 months occasionally. They are unbelievable. They are fucking knocking teams aside. They're putting beautiful football together. But that crunch time around December, Christmas, January, February, when the fucking pressure's on, they just fold like a cheap snakes and ladders board. They're fucking out of there. They when their fucking heat is on, they're shit. And then as soon as the heat is off, like last season, they dropped out of that fucking two-horse race. They dropped out of the title race and left it to Tottenham and Leicester. And when the pressure was starting to get to Leicester a little bit, and the pressure was starting to get to Tottenham a little bit, but Arsenal had already fucked it, mathematically can't win it, they started playing mint again. And they end up coming second. So at the end of the season, they go, oh, we finished second. Like, you should have won it, right? You should have fucking won it in about January 12th.
Arsenal, and I think that's the saddest thing, because Arsenal should have won. I remember Sir Alex, before he left, he was talking about the stuff that Arsenal is building at Arsenal. Like it's a serious thing that he's building over there. And the reality of the fact is, they've had the most stability, whilst everybody else has been changing, chopping, changing, players going here and there, managers going here and there. So for the last, since Sir Alex left, they really should have won it. I mean, at least one of the last three seasons, they should have won it.
Last season, they had the highest expected goals. They had the free run at it that all of the other traditional contenders, Chelsea just completely fucking fell to pieces. United completely fell to pieces. City didn't fucking want it. Once they decided Mourinho was coming in, they'd all bent over and decided that they would just wait until Guardiola came in and fuck what happens this year. They had the chance to win it as well, City last year.
Yeah.
And Arsenal bottled it. They bottled it. Like, I don't give a fuck what Arsenal fans say. They bottled this. They had the opportunity to win the league last year and they let Leicester win it. We was out of it. We were shit, right? We've been shit for 3 years. We've not really put a title challenge together. But they think that they fucking deserve to every single year. And we can say, yeah, do you know what? We've been shit. We will be back. And we will still win a title before they do. Because that's how fucking... Unless they win it this year. Which they could. They really could win it this year.
They could.
And they might have turned a corner and maybe they win it and then Wenger walks off into the sunset. Maybe that happens. But I just see... There's just that... It's happened so often every single year that you just think, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. There's no way it doesn't happen again. They don't have the characters that they had in 98 and 02 and 04. They don't have that character. They don't have Vieira. They don't have Ian Wright. They don't have Petit. They don't have that... Tony Adams character. They don't have that real fucking tough dude. They've got fucking loads of players that are far too similar, and you just think, I'm not scared of you.
That's the reality of what's going on over there, to be honest with you. I think and then at the same time with the turn events, you look at the things and you're like, Arsene might be leaving, Ozil hasn't signed a new contract, Sanchez hasn't signed a new contract, and if those three up and leave, what?
Ozil's quality. Sanchez, fucking quality. Unreal. You see Ozil's goal the other night?
Oh, listen, honestly, un-freaking believable. Unbelievable. Them defenders were eating grass. Like, it was something else. You know, sometimes you just got to be like, you know what? I'm just going to have to send Joel a text and say, you know what?
It was fucking brilliant. It was fucking brilliant.
You know what I mean?
It wasn't... Sometimes you see a great goal and the guy's hit it on the volley and he's had one touch and he's just made that one touch and it's flew into the top corner and you go, that was amazing. He's had six or seven touches and every single touch was the perfect touch to set the next part of the move up.
That's what it is.
And the dummy when he sent them both fucking flying and you just think...
Because as a striker, sometimes the more touches you have, the more likelihood of you messing it up.
Yeah.
And everything from the run to
the dink, the fucking dummy,
I'll say to Joe last night that look, there's two things that when they come together is exceptional. When quality and confidence come together, it's almost unstoppable. And that's where Ozil is right now. Obviously, we know he's always been quality, but that confidence that he's playing with now. Yeah, I mean it's exceptional stuff. You got
how's Joel an Arsenal fan? Because he's not a dickhead.
He's not. You know what he is? Honestly, he's gonna get on me for saying this here, but I honestly always say he's a secret. He's a closet United fan. I honestly say it all the time. I'm like, Joe, you're a closet United fan. You are. I like you are. If you were still playing football, Joe, like you were back in the days and United came calling, you'd play for United. That's what I was telling you. Because you know what he does? He actually, he's a football fan that loves and respects football. And so he's, I guess the way he looks at things, sometimes he will give the bants in that, but he's honest about why he would give the banter. Like he's honest about why he would give Man United the banner, because he said, because you guys are the best. That's it. Like the fact is, we've set the standard in football. We've set the necessary. That's nobody can argue.
At least in England, I think there's a couple of teams overseas that have got a word in that. But in England, we are the big, we are the king daddy in England.
And I look at there's things where you look at like I was saying to Joel the other day, I was like, you know, because we went to a meeting at Arsenal the other day, and you know, I saw their plaque up there with all their stuff they've won, and I looked at the amount of Premier Leagues they've won. I said, hey, Joe, you won less Premier Leagues than Cantona. You retired in 97. I was like, how is that even possible? How have you won less Premier Leagues than Cantona, who retired in 97 and the Premier League started in 92? How is that even?
How many did Anderson win? Did Anderson win four?
Anderson bagged four Premier Leagues. I don't know. Joe's cut from a different cloth. Joe's cut from a different cloth when it comes to being.
There's a couple of Arsenal fans that are all right, but the majority of them just make me want to fucking punch babies. Let's talk about Liverpool, right? Because Liverpool appointed Jurgen Klopp last season in October. He's had a year and a bit now. The media fell in love with him because he's positive. He'll talk to them. He doesn't just tell them to get fucked like Mourinho does and a couple of the other older school managers. I think he's getting a lot of love because him and Guardiola are the new plaything for the media, so they're all like, ooh, shiny, and fucking getting themselves off of it. Last year with Liverpool, though, they didn't do nothing. He averaged around about the same points per game as Brendan Rodgers averaged. This season, they are playing above themselves. Can they maintain it? Because I look at that Liverpool team and I go, I don't see a lot of depth. I certainly don't see a lot of strength. Are they equipped for a title challenge? And how ironic, as soon as Gerrard fucks off to America, they put on another title tilt.
I think with Liverpool, how am I going to start this? I think from the media, I'm going to start from the media perspective, I think with the media, we sometimes forget that the majority of the people that are in the upper echelons of the media were young when Liverpool were doing well. So the whole of that area, that I think that media circuit love Liverpool. And like there's been talk about it for a long time. Mourinho talks about it when he won the league, that everyone wanted Liverpool to win it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And there's a kind of a relationship with the media and Liverpool, because there's a bit of nostalgia from the people of that era, because Liverpool were doing it back then. In terms of Jurgen, what he's done right now, I think it's evidence of the fact that you have to give a new manager time, because last season, do you know what I mean? You know, Akeem, like Cheeky Sport Akeem, everybody laughs at Akeem, because Akeem comes up with like the most brash statements. He'll just say it. He'll just call it as it is. And same way, like you said, with the points thing, Akeem will just be like, nah, Klopp's dead. Like, we have to just call it what it is. He's rubbish, because he's done the same as my man. He's been in the job, and he's been in the job since when? September? He's been in the job since like September,
October. But he definitely changed the style of play, at least. You could definitely see he was putting his own stamp on things.
Of course, but with last year, there was an extreme amount of inconsistencies, and no one was calling it. No one was saying it. No media was saying anything.
Give him time, and then... it's not his team. But then he had the transfer window and he did nothing with it. And you're like...
He brought in Joel Matip and Wijnaldum. But the fact is, it's like, everybody's like, you know what I mean? And that's the reality of what it is from that perspective. But I think, like you said, you can see that you can now see his ideas. To be honest, I hate the word philosophy, and I just never want to use it again because I've heard it so many times.
It's been burnt on it. We need a new word.
We need to crack open a thesaurus. But you can see his ideas like coming into play like none other. And I think it's incredible to see. I have to say, it's incredible to see a manager having having his ideas actually come into fruition through the eyes and through the players. And I think it's testament to the fact, for me, it's testament and it's encouragement to the fact that I think it will take time, but I think for us, it also makes me confident about what we can do. And I think we're not in any position right now to bring the axe down on Mourinho. So, and I think, and that's the difference. And no, but what I mean is that's the difference between what happened, what's happened since Sir Alex left, and what's happening now. Because before, when it came to players, you knew Sir Alex is going nowhere. So you better change. You need to change. Because if you don't, you're out the door.
Yeah, there's the door right there. There's plenty gone through it that are better than you.
There's no two ways about it. There were no two ways about it. And Sir Alex, in his books, he always talks about the most important thing for him was control. He always talks about it. That's the most important thing. Because if you're not in control, these men will run at you.
That's ultimately why Beckham left. Beckham, he thought, was becoming out of his control.
Exactly.
And he was still useful, still fucking brilliant as a footballer till the day he retired.
Without a shadow of a doubt, but it comes down to that. And I think right now, with who we have in place, I think people understand now this ain't changing anytime soon. That's the reality. The fact is,
well, yeah, so, for starters, it cost us more than it's fucking worth to replace.
Exactly.
There's no obvious candidate outside of him.
Exactly. So, end of the day, this is it. This is it. He's in. So, I think that is the most encouraging thing for me, because it's like the players then have to buy into what his ways are, because Man United are not going to let this one go. That's the reality of the fact. And what's happening over there at Liverpool is testament to the fact that it does take a bit of time. It does take time for your whole ideas and how you want the team to play to come into fruition. And you can see, like I said, I'm seeing signs of it. I mean, I don't remember getting a last game that we've had so many opportunities. You know what I mean?
Well, the last two home games recently, Stoke and Burnley, you're like...
Stoke was an incredible game. Incredible game. Like, one of the best... I looked at that game and I was like, man, if we had scored one goal...
The keeper had another worldie. The save from Lingard at close quarters and the save from Zlatan again. And you think, there can't be many more keepers about to have the game of their life at Old Trafford, right?
Exactly.
It's got to run out at some point.
Exactly. And when it drops, then I think we're going to be flying absolutely differently. It's funny because we started off at Liverpool and I've somehow brought it back to Man United, yeah. But
I liked it.
It's the characters you've got there, like the Zlatans, that will be able to keep the players focused or keep the players' confidence at a level to be able to do that consistently. And I think there's only good times ahead. And I think the things that's going over there at Liverpool are only testament to the fact that, you know, great
things
are away for us. Yeah, exactly. Give them time and it will be...
Why do you think there's such a massive overreaction then? Because I see it on a regular, online mostly. I think there's a lot of people... I don't know if people want to appear more hardcore than they are because, they, you know, they're not at a game and they watched it on TV and they want to feel like, I need to have an opinion on this. So... I'm going to go, you know, that extra 5% than maybe I would have, because I see a lot of different attitudes. And this isn't me having a dig at anyone who's not going to the games or anything like that before anyone starts. This is just an observation I make, that a lot of people coming out of the ground, pretty blasé, like loads of shoulders everywhere. Everyone's sort of chilling out, and you know, people, especially the older Reds, they're like, we've seen this before. It's all right. You know, we are building something. Alex Ferguson took 7 fucking years. Who's getting 7 years to build anything? Look what we've just said about Wenger, right? And we both agree on it. He'd have been gone. He would have been gone. But that guy's won 3 titles. I remember something very specific my old man said to me, where the day that United won the league, he said, Sir Alex can stay for life now. And you go, wow. Sir Alex can stay for life. And I was like, why? And he goes, because he's won the league. And I'm like, so even if we like get relegated, and he was like, can't sack the guy. He's won the league. And I think attitudes have changed in that time, in that 23 years, that a lot of Arsenal fans, they got fucking banners. They got active campaigns to get Wenger out, and he's won 3 of them. Supposedly invincible, one of them. I've got thoughts on that, but like that just shows how much football has completely flipped on its head.
Yeah.
That winning a league used to guarantee you safe passage to the end of your time almost at a club. Now, you can win a league and be out on your ass quick time, especially as we've seen at Chelsea. Look at some of the success people have had at Chelsea and been, anyway, yeah, see ya, under Abramovich. So, I think Manchester United, I'm not buying that there's a Mourinho out campaign. Not a real one, at least.
No way.
I'm not buying that whatsoever. But I think the vast majority of fans I think, are pretty relaxed about it. And I think we're accepting that this is a long journey. And if it takes, you know, we've got to get in the top four this year. We have to, for club stature reasons. We can't do another year out of the Champions League.
Yeah.
If we get the top four amidst what's going to be difficult circumstances with a strong Chelsea, with a strong Tottenham, with a strong Arsenal, with a strong Liverpool, with a strong City, shit, there's not enough success to go around for all of those clubs as it is. So someone's missing out. Let's hope it's not us. Let's hope that we've got enough in us. And I certainly think we've got enough in us. I think we have got enough in us to win the league this year just because of the chaos of everyone stabbing everyone else. We can do it, but the door's closing on it. And it's, we're a massive outsider to win it. But we could win it. Leicester won it in more weird circumstances than would be for United to win it this year. I think next year is the one that we've got to look at aiming for the title. We have to get in that top four this year, though. Come what may.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. I think as we're living in a more vocal generation, I think that's what it is. I think as we're living in a more vocal generation, a lot of people that have obscure views are coming to the fore. So a lot of people that like are of this, oh man, this is rubbish, it's not good enough. You know what I mean? Of course, we all know when something's not good enough, innit? But then at the same time, if you're not throwing down the hatches or kicking your toys out the pram, people are like, oh, you're deluded. You don't realise, I mean, your team's going to crap. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, listen, the reality of the fact is, let's not overreact when you know, let's look at it for what it is. And like I said, when I looked at that performance against Burnley, I was like, bro, listen, to be honest with you, that's one of the best Man United performances that I've seen. Yeah.
Mate, when you're building a house, you dig down first before you start building up.
Exactly. It's not, and you know, I think Mourinho said it perfectly during the press conferences this week. It was like, look, there's loads of times where you win 1-0, 1-0, but the truth of the matter is, it's not encouraging because you know that you didn't play well enough to do that. And you know that that's not going to
sustain. We came out of the Charity Shield and was like, we won the game, but it was shades of Van Gaal. Hangovers and all these words was being said.
Mm-hmm.
Those are now transitioning into, fuck me, how didn't we win that game? And that's going to translate into, fuck me, we just put 5 past someone. I don't think that's going to be this week or next week, but I think before the end of the year, that's going to happen. We're going to absolutely fucking bitch slap someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with you on that 100%. I think it's just one of those things. But I think you're always going to get fans. You're always going to get 1-2 fans that are going to say something ludicrous, and then the media is going to jump on a ludicrous fan or a ludicrous Twitter account that appears out of nowhere, but previously was a Liverpool Twitter account. Do you know what I mean? Like, media's just going to jump on that. They're not going to do their research. They're going to see it and be like, yeah, we're snapping that. United fans angry. United
guaranteed clicks. Boom.
Do you see what I'm saying? and that's I think a lot of it is part and parcel of being Manchester United. And sometimes we're just gonna be like, you know what, people are gonna jump on us because, I mean, that's who we are, because we're that big club. And sometimes it's gonna be like, yeah, cool. And I think my hope on top of that is that the players, that's also in the players' minds as well, so it doesn't affect players too much mentally before what isn't true starts becoming the truth. Do you see what I'm saying? Because that could easily happen as well if you haven't got enough mental strength as a player to deal with all of this rubbish that's been spoken about.
Mkhitaryan.
Mickey. Listen, I'm actually, to a great degree, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm actually happy. Yeah. I'm actually okay with the fact here that he hasn't been playing yet. The reason why I want to say this here is because when he does come in to the fore and he comes in to the side playing the way in which he played last season, people always use this term, it's going to be like a new signing, but it is going to be like a cheat code.
We've seen about 18 fucking minutes of him.
See what I'm saying? It's going to be like entering a cheat code in the middle of the season. Because what we've seen and what we've done so far is without this amazing player. Let's not take this lightly. He's not an average, bang average player. He's an amazing player. Which when he does light up, it's going to be incredible. And one thing that really excites me about him is the fact that he went in on training on Monday. When United were off training, and he decided, you know, I'm going in because I'm trying to get to that standard. I'm trying to get it upon himself to do that. And for me, that's winning.
Do you know what's weird? Is everyone who becomes a success, everyone who's a raging success like that, they all, you hit the stories of all of them putting in extra work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand why more don't do it. Like, I was hearing, he's obviously at Reading now, and I've not checked up to see how he's doing, but Tyler Blackett was putting in extra work with a guy that I know over on this side of Manchester,
mm-hmm.
That used to help out Keane and Ronaldo and Rooney and all those guys. He used to be the strength and conditioning coach at United, and he was going doing one-on-ones with him. He's got like a lab, a strength and conditioning lab. He's in this month's 442 talking about it. Not about Tyler going there, but it's one of those that you just known for a while. Like, you would hear Tyler Blackett ask Nicky Butt to come in and do one-on-ones with him. Tyler Blackett is going doing one-on-ones there, and you think, no matter what happens, that's the mentality that I know you're going to go and be a success. Like, yeah. I got a mate who was a boxer. Just a guy from Brighton. He was 2-0, 3-0, something like that. Nothing special, right? Good technical boxer, but that was it, good. Like, he would do pads with his fucking brother or something like that. He wasn't at a big training camp or anything like that. And then he gets signed by Ricky Hatton's promotion. He goes on to have a couple more fights on a little bit of a bigger stage. Gets to like 5-0, maybe 6-0, something like that. And he's a southpaw, and he's an aggressive southpaw. So Juan Manuel Marquez, his coach, phones him up and goes, how about we fly over to Mexico? Because you're about as close as we can get to for Pacquiao style. And we want you to help Marquez out while he's doing a bit of sparring and a build-up to the fight. And he's like, what an opportunity. Fuck it. He's doing law at Southampton Uni. And he's like, yeah, what I'll do is I'll go over to Mexico for a little bit of a holiday. They're paying me some decent money. I'm going to get some good training. You know, you've got some fucking legends of the game there. 23 world champions this guy has trained. Marquez is there. Fuck it. Yeah, let's go. So he goes. He fucking stiffens up Pacquiao. Stiffens up Marquez and then puts him away while HBO are there filming the Showtime special, right? And he goes, the whole gym goes quiet, and he goes, I thought I was going to get buried in the fucking hills of Mexico, mate. He goes, I've just put their hero away with the TV cameras here. He goes, the whole gym went quiet, and Oscar De La Hoya comes in, and he goes, get your gear off, go sit in the office. And he's like, I'm dead, they're going to kill me. So he goes and sits in the office, and the coach, I think it's called, I can't remember his fucking name, the old Mexican training guy anyway, with Oscar De La Hoya, they both come in and they go, we want you to move to Mexico and train here, right? And I'm talking about mentality, he's like, well, I'm doing a law degree, you know, I live in Brighton, and he goes, okay. He goes, so for about a year, he was living like a Mexican boxer in Mexico for whatever amount of time, having a couple of fights on some of the local shows and stuff like that, and then flying back to the UK to do modules of his law degree. Passes his law degree, moves out to Mexico full time. He's now in double figures with his fights. He's lost a couple. That's the Mexican way, isn't it? You fight any cunt, get in, shut up, fight him. The mentality that it's got, just the mentality alone, that says, I'm going to abandon everything and I'm going to put all my eggs in to go and train him with some of these motherfuckers. Forget about what he did in sparring with Marquez, with one of the greatest of all time. The mentality that it takes to say, I'm going to cut my fucking whole family off, my friends off, my life off and everything. I'm going to move to a country where I don't speak the language. I'm going to live in the fucking ghetto like one of these street fighters. He's going to become a world champion. I put fucking money on it.
You know what it is, yeah? That is, like you said, that is the recipe for greatness. That's without a shadow of a doubt, yeah. Everyone that wants to succeed in anything you do in life, yeah, you have to go harder than what everybody else is doing. Or you have to even, like, you've got to understand your position. Like, for us, when we came to the four of us as Cheeky Sport, honestly, how did we start? We were doing a few debate shows here and there. We was on like 24 subs for like a solid period of time. When we first met you, we was on like 78 subs, and I'm sure four of them subs were me. Like, I mean, like that's the reality. But it's sleepless nights. It's getting it wrong. It's getting the sound wrong. It's dropping batteries. Not knowing what's happening. It's like, oh, you know, it's continuous struggles, continuous work, continuous going in harder than everyone else, going, putting in the extra work, not just putting in what's going to get you across the line, but it's putting in the extra work there. That's what gets you to the upper echelons of the day. And obviously, we're not there yet. you know what I mean? That's cheeky sport. But then it's like that ethic is what breeds success in all walks of life. Like I said, you know, me and Joel will both say, we all say it all the time. Like the reality of the fact is hard work always pays off. Always. Like if you obviously like people say work hard and work smart. But if you work hard, it would always pay off. If you put in the extra work, you put in the extra hours, you know what I mean? And those are the things that people aren't seeing, that people don't see on the surface, and it becomes like a success story. Oh man, where did you guys come from? You guys popped out of nowhere. Or oh man, where did this come from? Oh man, what, you know what I mean? Even like with you and the stuff that you're doing with MMA later, it's like, where did this come from, man? It's like it popped out of nowhere. But it didn't pop out of nowhere.
It's been fucking grinding for 2 years, you dickhead.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? It's absolute grind and hard work going in behind the scenes. That's what breeds greatness. And like I said, it's seen in every walk of life, all types of sport, even outside of sport, people that are not even into sport, people that are into like general office jobs or office success or being great at stop breaking or anything like that. It's all about how much you're only going to get in, but you're only going to get out what you put in. And the more you put in, the better you're going to be. And you know, like I said, we started this like talking about Mickey, but it's a general rule in life. And like you said, all the great players, footballers, all the greats, you know what I mean? The people that were like amazing at free kicks, like David Beckham's.
Yeah, it's an obsession.
You've got to be obsessed. You've got to say, all right, cool, you're not going home, yeah? See you later. I'm gonna stay here. Do you know what I mean?
Eric Cantona brought that to United and used the likes of Beckham. He was like, I want you to just put 100 balls in for me, and I'm going to head them, I'm going to chest them, I'm going to volley them, I'm going to try and tap them in. And so Beckham's like, oh shit, yeah, it's Eric Cantona, fucking right, I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
Eric Cantona's getting probably at the time, even then, still perfect delivery on all of those. So he's fucking buzzing. And I remember I think it was Perry Groves talking about it, about Arsenal when Bergkamp came. Bergkamp would stay after training and have people firing balls into him, and he would be like trying to turn and control them at the same time. What the things Bergkamp was famous for. And Perry goes, the likes of Ray Parlour and all those lads coming through at that time, he goes, we would look at him. He goes, that's Dennis Bergkamp, right? If Dennis Bergkamp's out here this afternoon training, why am I thinking about going home? Yeah. Why am I put the fucking bag down? Let's get out there. And that's what you've got to do. So if the likes of Zlatan are doing that at the moment at United, and if the likes of Bastian Schweinsteiger are allowed to do that at Manchester United at the moment, and they're getting out there on a training field, that's the sort of work ethic that I hope even the likes of Nicky Butt, you know, you can't say to him, stay behind and do after. I mean, maybe you can, because you do hear of sometimes them doing two-a-days, but most of the time it's in a negative light when people say, oh, they're doing two-a-days.
Yeah.
I suppose when you've got that drive to do it yourself, and you're working on things that you want to work on, you probably put that extra 15% in. So maybe you almost don't want to schedule it to make them come in and do it, but you want to make sure that there's facilities and shit available if they want to come.
Yeah. And it's incredible. Like you said, it's you know, when I hear certain things come out of United, even like certain things, like when I think it was Herrera that was saying Zlatan's never lost a training session, and it's like, how's he not lost a training session? How's he not? Do you know what I mean? Like, what, his team always wins? Like, you know what I'm saying? It shows that there's something there that he's bringing that makes everybody else raise their standards that are playing for him on his team in the training session. You see what I'm saying? And that's
well, supposedly when he used to play one touch and two touch, you wanted to be on Paul Scholes' team. He don't lose. Simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. It's incredible. It's, you know, and it's, like you said, when you've got certain people, like you said, the likes of Cantona saying, yeah, I'm staying behind. Beckham, you stay behind. He's whipped some balls in for me. Beckham's thinking, oh, that's sick. What? I get to whip balls into Cantona.
Yeah, I'm getting a bit of QT with Cantona in. Fuck yeah.
And then, you know, that breeds that culture, and it breeds that culture and that era of success. I always believed Zlatan coming to Manchester United, for me, even when it was still talk about it, I wasn't even looking at it in terms of, oh, he scored 50 goals last year, if he can get half of them goals. I wasn't even thinking about him for goals. I was thinking about who he is as a person, his character, what that would breed and what that would bring to the life of Manchester United, because we've been missing an air of arrogance.
Characters. We're missing pure characters.
That's it. You see what I'm saying? It's been quite vanilla or quite Magnolia. And it's good to see. It's good to see that back. It's good to see to have some of that back.
Well,
and
Mourinho's got it in bucket loads. Zlatan brings only that in terms of character. Pogba's fairly quiet, but he definitely brings an outward fucking happiness and character about him. He seems like a really bubbly guy.
Yeah.
And then you've got the likes of Jesse and Rashford and Fosu Mensah. They're all fucking close mates. I think Rooney still gets involved with everybody in that as well. I think you've got a really good attitude. When you watch the bush cam shit that we do, especially the one from last night, you're seeing all of the coaching staff are trying to do a crossbar challenge and they're all laughing. And then when they're doing a warm-up, Mourinho's trying to red-arse the guy that's giving the warm-up and you're like, this is a guy that's lost the plot on a team that's under pressure, because it does not look like it to me. This looks like they're all just having a fucking laugh. It looks so fucking relaxed. And if Mourinho is coming out and doing things outwardly and then getting into the dressing room and going, ha-ha, then quality. Because I know that sometimes behind the curtain is entirely different to what happens in the public eye. Do you remember when Mike Tyson bit Lennox Lewis's ankle?
Yes.
And he comes out and he shouts to that reporter and he's like, I'll fuck you till you love me, faggot, and this, that and the other. And everyone's just going, oh my God, this is the craziest press conference ever. And then he shoves Lennox Lewis and then he's biting his fucking ankles and then it gets broke up and then he fucks off down this door and you just go, what the fuck was that? Like, he's crazy and he's locking up. That guy is not roofed in right. There was a camera following Tyson at that point. And there's a video on YouTube that I found ages ago. I'll throw it up on my Reddit if I find it.
Mm.
And Mike Tyson bounces through these fucking like saloon doors like that. And then Don King's with him. And he like fucking hitting Don King in the ribs like, did you like that? And he goes to him, how was that? And he's like completely calm and chilled out. And you go, he just honey-dicked us. He has just completely fucking honey-dicked us. That was all an act. He's like psyched himself up, walked out there, fucking called out a reporter, bit Lewis's leg and then fucked off again and everyone's buying this fight now. And you just think...
Oh, that's sick.
I think there's elements of that with football managers. Never believe anything a manager says. Never believe anything an agent says. Never believe anything. Look at Rui Faria saying... he thought fucking Clattenburg was excellent last weekend. Do you think he honestly believes that? No, he was being sarcastic. He was taking the piss.
Taking the absolute piss.
Yeah. Because he knows that his boss has just been fucking fined 40 bag for saying that the press have made it difficult for the guy against Liverpool to have a good game.
Yeah.
And he was right. He wasn't. He didn't put any extra pressure on him. The press had already done it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think for a lot of things when it comes to Mourinho as well, I think a lot of people put him underneath the microscope or put him under the microscope because at the end of the day, he's Manchester United boss. But even the controversial things like him getting like that touchline ban or him being fined and so on and so forth, I think a lot of people forget. And I think a lot of people forget Sir Alex at his time. Like, Sir Alex was explosive. Like, Sir Alex
is the most banned fucking manager in the FA history.
You see what I'm saying? Honestly. And he'd have run-ins with everyone. Not just them. I remember he had a run-in with the BBC. He just refused to talk to the BBC for like 2 years. He was like, yeah, whatever.
More like 10, I think.
Whatever, fine, I ain't paying it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he just refused. He was like, no, I'm sending... Might go and talk to them. Some days no one would even come out. Like, it was like, what? How's this even happening after the match of the day? It's like, hold on, where's... Oh, nah, nothing. We've got nothing. That was how Sir Alex was. So there's a lot of... For me, I see a lot of comparisons within their character, so to speak. And I just think, at the moment, he's not going to be out or super excited in front of the press at the moment because... Red effect is he knows, one, the press are out to get him.
Yeah, they're bored of him. They're out to get him. He ain't new news. He ain't the special one that came in 2004. They got new toys now. And he's probably going, fucking let them. Just fucking let them have them. Yeah. I got a big job on my hands here.
Straight
up. I'm going to deal with this.
Straight up.
He's putting an act on. You see when he walks out Old Trafford, he's not even smiling. But you can see the excitement in him.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. And I think, to be honest with you, I think what he... Honestly, I think for him, he wants to, one, do well this year, two, get that contract extended, three, so he can buy a house and chill out. Because at the moment, yeah, he feels like 3 years, I don't know if I'm here, am I going, am I staying? There's so much surrounding what's happening. He can't really settle. At the same time, he can't really, do you know what I mean? It's difficult from that perspective. So right now, he's like, I'm just focusing on what I need to do. I ain't here to play any games with you guys right about now, to be honest with you. That's the reality. I'm not here to be the jester. It's not time for Jester Jose at the moment. I'm out here trying to do what I got to do. I'm here because I have to be here. And I'm gonna answer the questions that I'm gonna have to answer, and then I'm gonna bounce and get the job done.
Yeah, that's it. I got shit to do, and I don't have to talk to you lot. Because any time I do, I get fucking fined. Yeah. And you all twist what I'm saying anyway. No one's listening to what I'm fucking saying, so fuck it. You're gonna write what you want to write. So go fuck yourselves.
I'd straight up be like, why are you asking me that? If I ask him, I'd be like, why are you asking me that? Don't do that.
That's what Louis give it and back, and that was sort of entertaining for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd literally be like, why are you asking me that? Are you gonna pay the fine? If you're gonna pay the fine, I'll answer the question. Are you not? All right, cool. Now, sorry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they should be a bit more like that. Yeah. That would probably still get them fined, though. They probably
exactly.
You literally can't win with the UK fucking press at the moment. It's the top and bottom of it.
The guys are under pressure, trying to make some more money as well. The FA are, I don't know what's going on over there. They're trying to get that money in. So the reality of the fact is, more fines, more money. Do you know what I mean? We can keep paying in, guys.
Right, Dave. We got to wrap this up because we've got over. But this was fucking awesome, so we got to do this again.
It was epic, bro.
Tell the people where they can find you.
100%. All right, listen. Head over to Cheeky Sport Channel. The link is going to be in the description. Obviously, if you're listening to this on iTunes, go to YouTube, type in Cheeky Sport, hit that subscribe button. We banter fans, players, every single weekend. I get down to Manchester as many times as I can, as Stephen knows. We'll be down for the Arsenal game. Catching that game, Man United Arsenal. So yeah, check me out, check us out, head over to YouTube, subscribe to the Cheeky Sport channel.
Nice one. Right, cheers everyone, see you later.
Cheers.
Your kids could get free or low cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.